Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Right now, we have a very, very special guest, and he joins us courtesy on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline. El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park, I'll let you do the introduction.
One of the most influential people in Chicago sports over the last four decades, now going to five decades, David, in Chicago, our good friend John McDonough, the president and CEO of the Chicago Blackhawks, joins us on The Score. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Bruce and David. Happy New Year to you guys. Good to talk to you.
Would you like to start with your career with the Sting, or should we just that was your first touch with a world championship team, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I've lived three lives, the Chicago Sting from 80 to 83, and then the Cubs from 83 to 07, and the last phase with the Chicago Blackhawks. So it's been amazing. It's good to have great friends like the two of you, and happy to join you today.
John, running a franchise, being successful and as successful as the Blackhawks have been since you got there and hooked up with, you know, Rocky as one of the great partnerships in sports, and then the inevitable dealing with the economics of sports and not always being able to keep the players that you want. I know it's got to be maddening from the perspective of you have these championship runs, you have these great players, yet these salary caps dictate what you can do and how long you can do them.
Well, first of all, Bruce, It's hard to win once. And we had the good fortune to win three, and we were an overtime away from playing for a fourth. So we had quite a decade. I mean, those are great memories. It's time to make new ones. But the salary cap is not designed to create dynasties. It just isn't. So very similar to baseball and every other sport, you draft well, whether you're picking first, 20th or 31st, you develop these players. They take the requisite amount of time in the minor leagues. They debut in the NHL or Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL. And then ultimately they perform to a high level, and you have to compensate them commensurate with their performance. But when you have a hard salary cap, you draft well, you develop well, but after a period of time, there's a high likelihood that you just can't keep everybody.
This hour here on The Score is brought to you by Numail Medical Center. Discover the new you, numailmedical.com. John, a very nice win up in Calgary last night. Another big game for Patrick Kane. We'll talk about him in just a moment as well. But the Hawks have obviously this season been up and down. Right now with a three-game winning streak, can you put into perspective what's going on with the team right now? And maybe overall to date through the first, wow, we're halfway through the season now, 41 games.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde, David. You know, we started out a bit slow. We've had some streaks here and there, and you know, we're facing some reality. You know, you've got Father Time, you've got the salary cap. You know, we've made some very good moves. I'm proud of the job that Stan Bowman has done, but you know, it's challenging. The Western Conference is very, very hard. The one thing that I've learned over the years, David, fans do not want to hear excuses, and they're accustomed to nine playoff appearances in a row and five Western Conference finals and three championships. That's what this generation of Blackhawks fans are accustomed to. But, you know, we can make some hay. We have four of the next five games at home. We had a great win last night. You had just referenced Patrick Kane. He was a leading scorer in the NHL for the last decade, and I think will go down as one of the greatest athletes in Chicago sports history.
John, can you talk about Kane a little bit more and what he means to your franchise and the superstar syndrome for franchises? You know, certainly, you know, going way back to Sting, but more importantly with you know, your time being the marketing director for the Cubs and then eventually the president, the star value of, you know, a superstar player when things are going right or wrong, how influential that is for a team.
It's almost incalculable, Bruce. It's important to have them. You know, probably when I was with the Cubs, I don't want to forget anybody, but, you know, you had an era that had Rick Sutcliffe and Ryan Sandberg and Andre Dawson and Greg Maddux and Mark Grace. Those are stars, superstars, players that had a huge imprint on that franchise. And when we won the division in 1984, you know, we had that. We had really high-end players, and you're going to need that. But I think fit matters. You've got to have the right type of players on your team, some selfless players, some guys that play roles. You've got to have the right manager for that group. As you know the group in 84, we had Jim Fry, but you almost had a 1A manager in Don Zimmer. So that was very unique. But it's important. I mean, the Blackhawks within the last decade, you know, in my opinion, with Patrick Kane, with Jonathan Toews, with Corey Crawford, with Duncan Keith, with Brent Seabrook, you know, you can't forget any of those guys. But to me, the acquisition that was the ultimate game changer was Marian Hossa. He was the finishing piece. He was that last piece that you brought in when you felt you were close. You were within sight of winning a Stanley Cup.
Hey, John, one more on Kane, if I can. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer down the road, but he's still playing at a Hall of Fame, you know, pace even right now. The one amazing thing to me, and we get to sit up high in the press box, obviously, so we see the whole ice, but what's amazing to me is his peripheral vision. I mean, he could score goals even more so if he wanted to, but he knows where all his teammates and where all the defensive players are all the time, and you can see that when you sit up as high as we are in the press box. It's just amazing to me. It's almost like he's Bob Cousy on skates, you know, to just throw out an analogy. He just knows where everything is all the time on the ice.
Well, it's funny you should say that, David. I was going to make a more contemporary analogy. Now, if you go back to Bob Cousy, you're even older than I am.
I was probably I just saw videotapes of him, trust me.
David, I was going to say Larry Bird had the
okay.
same thing.
Okay.
Very, very, very similar. You're like when you're sitting up in the press box or you're sitting in the 300 level, you can see these plays develop better than maybe you can in any other location. But he sees things that other players don't see. And I think in every sport, you know, it might have been in the NBA, it might have been John Stockton or a type of player like that or Magic Johnson. Every single sport has that type of player where their vision and their feel and their touch are just better, and they make every other player on the ice or on the field better. So he's just got that special, unique talent. He's very, very charismatic. He's a great teammate and proud that he's a Blackhawk.
John, David and I were talking about managers and coaches these days and how upper management has to really have such a quick idea about when it's time to move on, even from the greatest coaches. Quenneville will go down as, you know, arguably the greatest coach in the history of the Chicago Blackhawks. But there's a shelf life, as Joe Maddon reminded me and others at the end of his tenure with the Cubs last September. It just happens. The voice is just not heard like it used to be. Another voice has to be heard. How difficult as a top executive is it to determine when those times come? I mean, you had experience with the Cubs, you know, bringing in a Lou Piniella. You've had this experience now with the Blackhawks. How tough is it to really know when the time is right?
It's difficult because, you know, human nature takes over. You know, in most cases, you have a very good, solid relationship with that coach, as I did with Joel, and bringing on Lou Piniella along with Jim Hendry. But I think some of this, guys, it goes in chapters. When you get to a point, and these decisions are tough, where you believe in your heart that that coach has taken you about as far as he's going to take you with this current group of players. And Joel is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is an icon in Chicago. He was almost like a sub logo for the Blackhawks, and he's going to go down as one of the great coaches in franchise history. But you know, you try to make these decisions and you weigh in, and they're not knee jerk decisions. They're not made overnight. They're not made independently. A lot of dialogue and a lot of time goes into it. But I think, Bruce, part of it is feel. when you've been around enough and you can see body language with players or how they respond when they're down 2 or 3 to 1. And, you know, it's very, very difficult decisions. But I only think, Bruce, letting a coach go is about 25% of it. The biggest part of it is hiring his replacement. Is he going to be the right guy? You know, it's always tough to follow a legend. We could go on forever about the great legend coaches that have had people that have followed them that haven't succeeded. You know, you've got to make the best decision you possibly can for the long-term interest of your franchise.
Hey, John, you mentioned the Jekyll and Hyde, not only performance, but winnings and losses so far this season for the Hawks. And I guess you can extend that also to the home ice. 500 is not going to cut it in the long run, of which you guys are right now. I'm sure you hope it gets better as we go forward in the second half of the season. And I'm wondering if you could just talk about the fan base, because there's no better fan base in hockey than them Chicago Blackhawk fans. And I even go back to the last game when you beat the Islanders. The place was just absolutely rocking that night. And I know that you want the fans to see winning hockey on a consistent basis at home.
The fans have been completely engaged. They deserve to have a great product. We've had the good fortune to have 515 sellouts in a row. They are engaged, but we never want to take that allegiance for granted, ever. You know, some of the games this year, they've been a little bit perplexing. We're playing really good against the high-end teams, and some of the other teams that some might say we're expected to beat, we haven't. We're playing very well on the road. You know, our new acquisition, Robin Leonard, has carried us in many, many games. He's been an incredible pickup for us. But, yeah, our home record, we should be able to dominate on our home ice, and that just hasn't happened. Now, within the next week, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be playing 4 out of 5 games at home. We're going to have a chance to, you know, make up some ground. But not playing well at home has put us in this position.
John, tomorrow the Score celebrates its 28th anniversary of being on the air. You and I go back to the great era. We go back to the great era with Chet Kopick and all the great radio that he did before the Score came along. What, in your mind, has been the influence of the Score and sports radio here on the sports scene over the last 28 years?
Bruce, I think it's the conscience of the Chicago sports fan. It's the consistency. It's people have an opportunity to weigh in. Some of those opinions are well-informed. Some of them are not. But it really makes for compelling radio. You know, when you're in the industry and maybe some of the criticism is directed at you, it's not as fun. But I've got a lot of correspondents out there, my two boys, among other people, that listen all of the time. And I think it was something that was brilliant. And the job that all of you have done with the Score to keep this vibrant for, you know, 28 years is amazing. I remember day one. You know, I've been on the Score countless times over the years, and every time I come on as a guest, I feel very fortunate.
John, you used the word brilliant, and you certainly have been brilliant in everything that you have ever touched in your professional life. We greatly appreciate you joining us here on New Year's Day. It's special for both of us that you joined us here on the holiday. We look forward to seeing you and talking to you for many, many more years to come.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Bruce. Good to talk to you.
Same here, John. Happy New Year.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.